Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is episode 7 of season 4 of You Haven't Heard This Music podcast, a podcast about lesser known music by lesser known artists that we believe are as good, if not most of the time better than that in the mainstream. Each week it's an entertaining podcast with hosts and guests and chats and banter. This week I'm joined by Ema, and we also have a special guest, Ali Comerford. So yes, as I said, this is a podcast about lesser known music by lesser known artists. For example, the piece of music you can hear behind me and today's introduction is the new single from Edinburgh pianist Stephen McLaren. My Heart Is Wandering to You comes hot on the heels of his hugely successful recent single Put Me On The Television. All of his information and links will be in the show notes.
Wandering to you.
So that was "My Heart Is Wandering to You" by Stephen McLaren.
Awesome.
Hi, Emma.
Hello. How are you today, Richie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm all the better for hearing your lovely voice and that awesome song. And also Isn't for having Ali Comerford here.
Hello. Hello, Bert.
Hello, Ali. Great. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. That was a really like rousing beginning. I feel it was like such an anthem.
It kind of sets the tone for the rest of the show, doesn't it, that?
Yeah.
It does.
I feel like marching around.
I like it when people use their accent in songs. It's kind of, it feels more real. If you know what I mean. Emma does I think Emma doesn't do it intentionally, it just comes out.
It's good. Irish accent is a good one to come out anyway.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. I didn't register. You were talking about me and I was like, well, yeah, he sounds pretty Scottish. You just heard that.
you two sound pretty close to each other. Where are you from, Ali?
I'm from Kilkenny.
Okay.
Where are you from, Emer?
Dublin.
Ah, there we go. Well, we're not too far away.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a clue how far away each of those are. I mean, it's a small island. I mean, if one of you lives in the far north and one lives in the far south, you still live close.
It's true, like 6 hours at most.
You're not
lying, walking or driving.
So, yes, Ali, welcome to the... Well, excuse me, I'll just get my words out if that's okay. Ali, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Ah, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Good. Are you familiar with the show? You're not familiar with the show. You'll have listened to a previous episode, and last week we completely changed everything. It's a completely different layout now.
Completely.
Okay.
Brand spanking new, baby.
Same kind of thing, though. We just listen to music and talk about it. It's all good.
Lovely. Keeping me on my toes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Emma, do you want to kick things off? Have you got anything to kick things off? Anything interesting? Any news? Any fun facts?
Now that you mention it, I do have a couple of fun facts, and get ready for this mouthful. It's not news, it's old. I don't know. A walk down memory lane through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm still working on it, on the title. But today, I'm going to kick it back all the way to 1810, and Ludwig van Beethoven composed Für Elise. On the 27th of April, 1810.
How about that,
Ali?
Do you remember? What did you say? What did you say when I spoke?
Debussy was my favourite.
That's what I meant.
But that's epic. That's cool. I like that one.
For this day, 1810, Für Elise was composed. 27th of April, 1957, Elvis performed at Maple Leaf Gardens, Toronto, where he wore his full gold suit for the last time. Some think that's a glow up, but I think that's a glow down. The gold suit was amazing. Everyone should always wear a gold suit.
I've got one.
In my humble opinion. Do you have a gold suit?
Do or not? Of course I haven't. Who's got a gold suit?
Oh. she got excited there for a second.
It would have been really good though.
I feel like I should get one now though.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. We should all just wear gold. Actually, I got this like limited edition 80s gold like tracksuit piece in H&M.
Nice.
They weren't selling many of them. And I went down and I was feeling myself and my mom just burst out laughing. I haven't heard her laugh so much. So that was quickly returned, but I regret it. So
I could just imagine on your roller skates pimping it around Ireland.
I know. I just didn't have the roller skates back then. Oh, I was just ahead of myself. Oh my goodness. I'll have to try it, like hunt one down. So 1964, April 27th, John Lennon releases his own Write, pun, because that's W-R-I-T-E, a collection of funny poems and drawings. And we had a couple weddings on the 27th of April. Ringo Starr and Barbara Bach were married in 1981. And I forgot to get the date, but Axl Rose married Irvin Everly. And do you want to take a guess at how long the marriage lasted?
2 months.
Ali?
4 months.
27 days.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I got that. Yeah. Thank you very much to thisonthisday.com for these fun facts. And that is all my olds. Nice. It's not news, it's old.
I've just realised that this is the first time you haven't heard this music podcast history that this has been a female dominated, that there's been a female dominated episode.
Ooh. Woo!
First time ever.
Yeah, hopefully the first of many.
We are a progressive podcast, people.
I hate that that's progressive.
I know. We got to start somewhere.
Yeah, come on.
Well, Emma's taken over. Every episode so far that she's been on, we've had something Irish on here.
Good.
Yes, indeed.
That's what we do, though, as a country. We kind of like ease our way in and then we take over.
Infiltrate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For sure. We've infiltrated many countries.
Right then, so shall we move on to our first song? Do you want us to actually describe to you the layout of the show, Ali, before we carry on?
Yeah, please, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play two songs. We sent them over earlier. Emma will start with her song, Hollow Ankles by Wild...
Yard Arms.
Yeah. Then there'll be me with mine. Then we'll have the wild card. You might be familiar with that if you listened to a previous episode.
Okay.
That'd be just a random song. And then no, we'll have the
not.
No.
I might be.
We'll flick through all the submissions and we'll just pick a random song. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be anything. It's a wild card. And amazing. Then after the wild card, we'll have the artist spotlight, which will be all about you. And we're going to play your song. We'll play your song and then talk about your song and then talk about you. And then Emma will finish by mentioning the artist of the week.
Oh, yeah.
You do have an artist of the week, don't you? That's okay then.
Yes, cool. I do. Ray Kelly. So, another Irish artist.
Unreal.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Of course it is.
Great.
Okay then, so Emma, if you'd like to go first, do you want to go first for your first artist, that the first artist is that you're going to firstly bring?
The first artist that I firstly think that I'll first go with to firstly listen to, so you guys also can hear this artist, is called Yard Arms, and this is their song Hollow Ankles.
I'm doing much better than last week. Think the spells work, but I'm grinding my teeth.
that was Hollow Ankles by Yard Arms. These guys, they only have like 20 YouTube subscribers. It's ridiculous. They're so good. I really like this piece. It has nostalgic rock. It feels like the Smiths meets the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's an easy lesson. It's a good story. All around, you know, nice song. It just ticks the boxes for me. And it's also got a fun music video, which everyone should check out.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. I didn't get any Chili Peppers from this EMA. This would have done really, really well about 15 years ago when you had like the Killers and the...
Yeah, I definitely got the Killers from it.
And that type of music. Do you know, when you listen to this type of music, and if someone said to you, think of the last instrument you should stick in this type of music, I would have said trumpet. Somehow, somehow it just worked.
Yeah,
I definitely
love it. But also, they mixed it really well because the trumpet's just kind of like sitting on top. You know, it's not like in your face.
Yeah.
They did it really nicely.
Mm.
Yeah,
blends in beautifully.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot for a second that there was trumpet in, and I was like, God, I can imagine that so well. Hang on. I literally just listened to it like 20 seconds ago. That's unreal. That's when you know it's a smooth trumpet. It's like, oh yeah, that was so good. Fits in very, very well.
Did you like this, Ali?
I did, yeah. Like, it wouldn't be something that I would sit down and listen to usually, but I thought it was really good. And honestly, like, as I was listening, I was like, The Killers. Sounds like The Killers. It made me feel like 15 again.
In all fairness, though, Ali, nothing that we plan here is going to be something you'd usually listen to. Usually you'd listen to Bartok or Rachmaninoff or something.
But no, I did really like it. Also, I was like, Hollow Ankles. Like, that's such an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like interesting visual to think like it's like ankles without any bones in them, like that's
it's like unsteady ankles. Is that what they're talking about, like it being like unstable?
Or Harry Potter's arm when he has that spell put on him and he gets a floppy arm.
I very purposely blocked that from my memory. That scares me so much.
Yeah, that was pretty rough, but
I feel like I have ankles.
Awesome. I'm gonna introduce my artist next, and I mentioned her earlier, but I called her Ernie Nathan because when I looked at her name there, instead of seeing the M, I saw an R and a joined up N, so I said it's Emmy Nathan. Now, I don't know whether to leave that in for comedy value or edit it. I don't know.
I'd say leave it in. And it's funny because I have Emmy Nathan written down and I was like, oh, geez, it looks like an M where I'm standing.
Yeah.
So, yes, my artist is Emmy Nathan and it's her song No Man.
Never before this, never before I took the time. The art of deflection, I must have been coasting for a while. And I never noticed that the fingers are pointed at someone else. Guess I never saw it, it's easier talking to myself. But every time you say that I'm a no. Until an ocean room in my mind for someone else. But every time you say that I'm an
Nathan. That was Emmy Nathan with her song No Man.
You literally have one job.
Speaking about No Man, Emmy said, I wrote this song just over a year ago when I was a few months into a relationship. It tackles the realisation of the fact that I was, more often than not, a glass half-empty kind of person, having previously been sure that I always led with optimism. While not necessarily always being a bad thing, I started to notice a default negative response within myself, sometimes evading accountability and, worst of all, not giving myself credit where credit was due. This song marked the willingness to try and see things through a more positive lens and allow myself to feel celebrated and seen by those who love me and hold myself to a higher standard. I absolutely adore this song. And when you listen to it and the production on it.
The production is so good.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
you wouldn't think that this is a lesser known song by a lesser known. This could be on the radio easily.
Yeah.
The production's amazing. I love the ethereal nature of the sounds that she's using, from the percussion to the unusual sounds within it. Click that she uses for the percussion, it's not a snare, but it adds to the ethereal sound. And her voice is beautiful as well.
Oh, it's stunning.
Her voice is amazing. I have to say that, like, I love the production on it, but, like, almost my favorite bit is at the very end when it's just the piano and her voice and she does, like, a little run. I was like, oh, my God.
You can imagine her doing this live, just stripped back to, like, maybe a guitar or a piano, and it would be really good.
Ooh, it'd be so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's so rich. It's a stunning song. It's really, really well done. It's so commercial. Like, I can't believe, I think she has 34 YouTube subscribers.
Really?
This song, you'd think it was, like, it's radio. And I love it because it's very commercial, but there's still kind of something quite, like, indie about it. And it's still got that, like, bit of differentness or whatever. But I really, really like it.
I think that's what comes of being an independent artist. You're not subject to the laws and standards of record labels and other producer. Maybe she's got a producer, but it's just there's something in there that gives it, like, a personalized touch, whereas a lot of stuff on the radio, it can a lot of the time just seem the same, and it feels impersonal.
Like it's very generic in ways. She killed it. She killed it while still maintaining, like, a very pop sound, which is great. It is,
because when we started doing the show, it was something we steered away from, like, the artist doing pop, and it's like, because we had it in our head when we first started doing it, the pop is the devil, and that's the commercial side of everything. But over time, we've realised, no, pop doesn't have to be,
the devil.
Like factory line music, that's what I think of it. It's like what's the word? Overproduced music, not overproduced, yeah. mass produced music. Just to, yeah, you know.
But
what
it's
I mean.
Strange because yeah. like without the heart. A lot of things. I think that like all genres of music have their place, you know. So there's like no hierarchy of music, you know, and depending on like. My standard of like whether things are good or not is literally like, will this song reach someone when they need it?
Yeah.
Like, and so much pop music does do that for people. So it's still important, you know?
Yeah. I think this podcast has helped me in lots of ways. Like last week, I don't know if you remember the song that came for the World Card Ema, the jazz
that
piece.
It was
like
amazing.
I didn't like it to start off with, but because I've done the podcast and listened to so much weird music, I've come to a place now where I don't discount it off the first listen. I listen to it and I think now, actually, after a few listens, I will most likely like that. So I'll listen to it again and again and again until I get it and understand it. Whereas before, like most people, you won't give music time to brew and it'll just get put to one side.
Yeah. Well, also because there's so much music in the world.
Yeah, there really
and especially
is.
Now, it's at your fingertips. Like, if you don't like something, you don't have to like it because there's like a million more songs to take its place.
Yeah, which is a shame.
It is, yeah.
So, yeah, that was me and my song that I've brought. And you can check both of those artists out, listeners, in the show notes. We'll leave all the links. Please go check them out. If you like their work, please go and buy their work. Support them. In the meantime, I think it's that time again, isn't it, Ema?
It's a wild card time, baby.
So this is that part of the show where I go into my emails and what's going to happen is our guest is going, I'm going to flick through the emails and our guest at some point is going to say stop and that song is what we're going to play and that artist. So
wow.
I am now flicking through the emails. You can say stop at any time. Flicking.
Stop.
Flicking. Okay.
Ooh.
We have.
It's exciting.
remastered Major Rift from Greenshine plus The Girl in the Lavender Dress. I'm going to go with Major Rift. Okay, so we've got, hello, Richie, Ema and Wayne. I hope you have a few minutes to listen to our track. Just to give you a little update regarding Greenshine's latest single, Major Rift, having begun the process of sending out the original to radio stations, we paused as we felt the original single needed a little more oomph. So oomph. We remastered and we are so pleased we did because the track sounded more like what we heard in our head. Got anything else to say? What's this here about bit about you? Who are you?
That's a nice email though.
Greenshine is a... No, there's a bit more than that. I don't read it all. But Greenshine is a Cork-based... For fuck's sake.
Yes! Come on!
He's taking the piss now.
I knew I was meant to say stop then. I was told.
Love it.
Should we choose a different one?
No, we shall not.
Greenshine is a Cork-based indie folk trio. We recently released our latest single, Major Rift, and have begun getting... I can't read. We have...
It's hard.
Come on, Rich. I've lost the line. There it is. And have been getting great support internationally with playlisting across stations in Ireland, UK, Canada, USA and Australia so far. We've decided to revisit the single, as I mentioned earlier. Let's play the song then. Let's see what they've got. I don't know what to expect. Indie folk? Could it be like Mumford and Sons? What are you expecting?
Indie folk. That's I have no idea.
It's going to be like an Irish Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, the Lumineers kind of vibe.
Maybe exactly. with a fiddle and a penny whistle.
Go on.
Hope so.
So this is them.
From the east. vibes going around. No, think before we speak. Everybody is an expert now. Everybody's got something to say. Going to sit here on the fence, not giving too much away. 'Cause lots of people are bound to get hurt if everybody shoots from the hip. All around the sacred cows stampede off the cliff to the sound of a major rift. What happened to all in this together? What happened to all for one? What happened to stiff upper lip? What happened to caring for everyone? When did we take our love away? When did bitter start prowling the halls? When did it all come tumbling down? When did we build the walls? Suddenly we're on a choppy sea, in a dodgy leaky boat adrift. Roll back the dice to the time before there was a serious shift and the sound of a major rift.
Song Major Rift. Ema, you think of this?
Cool. Wow, like interesting. Like it wouldn't be the kind of music that like I typically listen to. I wasn't, when I heard indie folk, I wasn't expecting that, but like it feels so familiar. There's something very nostalgic about it. Like I can't remember the, but there's some singer, he's like Leonard Cohen, but he has a really deep voice. Maybe like, I don't know, kind of gave me like Lou Reed vibes or something, like a bit of Narcos or something. It's so frustrating because it's on the tip of my tongue, but like very cool. Not what I was expecting. I like the arrangement. She's got really cool voice. I like that kind of whispery thing that she does. It's different for sure, but also familiar, if that makes sense.
You're thinking of the person who sung Red Right Hand, aren't you? What's his name?
Red Right.
Oh, you're typing that into Google, are you?
I am. Nick Cave.
Is that who you're thinking of?
I think so. Someone like that. Like it's like a female Nick Cave kind of vibe.
Did you like this, Ali?
Yeah, I felt like she was just sitting in my ear telling me a little story. Yeah. You know? Because of the way, like, she's obviously, like, it's so, like, close mic'd and it's, like, right there. Like, her vocal was quite dry. You know, there was, like, not much reverb on it. So it sounds like she's literally in your ear whispering this tale to you. So I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy this as much as I could. I think if they'd have, this is slightly jazzy, and I think if they'd have leaned more into the jazz and stepped away from the folk side of it, and you'd have added some double bass, some jazz riffs, and some jazz drums, and just gone with the jazz, but kept it mellow, that would have worked for me. It didn't sit quite right with me, but it's good. I'm not taking away from it, and there's obviously going to be people out there that love it. It just didn't sit well with me. I'd have preferred it to be fully on the jazz side. I do like jazz. But yeah, good tune. We'll leave all the links in the show notes so you can check them out and show them some love that I just didn't do. So yeah,
you can make a good like TV like theme show opening. Oh, I know exactly what I'm thinking about. The opening for what's that show with Tommy Shelby in it?
That's Nick Cave.
That's
Red Right Hand.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was saying, Richie. You gotta keep up.
Yeah.
Sorry,
come on, man.
My bad.
Jeez.
So there we go. We're gonna move on to our next section now. Then our next section is the artist spotlight. Bang.
Beautiful.
There we go.
So, Ali, Emma, do you want to interrogate Ali?
Interrogate?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, first off, I have to say, I love, like, your presence today. Like, you seem very, very comfortable, like, just having a chat and all this kind of stuff. So, what's your history in music? Like, do you, like, perform?
Does she perform?
Obviously,
does she perform, Emma? Have you not done your research? God.
It's called live research. It's called method acting.
Exactly. Being in the moment so you can react better.
It's all about being in the moment.
I wish I'd have done that last time because I knew what she'd done and I couldn't talk to her properly because I was too nervous.
Yeah, so I've mostly been a classical musician up until like this year. Playing freelance. So I lived in London for 7 years and then I lived in New York for 4 and then I toured for a year. Yeah, and it's just been playing in orchestras, chamber groups, lots of stuff like that. And then I was on tour. I was at the beginning of a 4-month tour when COVID hit.
Oh my God.
So I was in the Bahamas, which I was very sad about, and I had to fly home. So I flew back to Ireland. But luckily, it's been actually quite a good year because I've spent the year just doing my own music. And I've never really, up until now, had the time to do that. So I've taken the year, I've been recorded an album, so I've been kind of running with that and bringing out singles, and yeah, it's been for the year that it could have been a terrible year, you know. And I think it wasn't terrible, so that's cool.
Well, fair play for keeping it positive. And also, I do know who you are now. My palms are sweaty. Because Richie, you had an interview with Ali before. Oh my God, amazing. That's so cool.
I just realised that I fudged everything up because I said Wayne was going to send us a piece of music to put in. He doesn't need to put a piece of music in because you have a piece of music, don't you, that I should have already played, but never mind. I'll put it in after the edit. It's fine.
Do we have a lesson now?
I mean, or is that set up, is it? No, I mean, we can, but with
it. It's off to you.
Let's go for it.
We're going to play your song now. And okay. I'm not even going to edit it. It's just going to go out like this.
Okay.
Okay, where are we? And this is your song, Knots. You didn't bring this one last time, did you?
I didn't, no. So this is going to be my new single. It'll be out in May. Yeah. And
so this is quite exclusive.
Yeah, yeah, it has never been played before by anyone.
Oh, wow.
Woo.
So
exciting.
I was just like, why not? I'll bring it out. But I don't know if you want to know about it before or after.
You can tell us about this afterwards.
Cool.
Okay, so this is Knots by our special guest, Ali Comerford.
My unsaid words, they turn themselves into the knots that knead and twist their way around my breathing lungs. They dupe me into skipping days and worst of all, into leaving my unheard songs still unsung. I cannot find the timber when I'm looking in the trees, and I've lost the wind's location as I stand out in the breeze. Because I worry like no other, it's always one thing or another. It keeps me awake and it makes me wonder if I am alone in this. And when the spiral starts at night about the thing I said 8 years ago to someone I don't know, would it be weird to reach out now and ask forgiveness for the wrongs that can't seem to wait till tomorrow? My thoughts take me on journeys I don't really want to go, but I'm so bad at directions that I can't find my way back home. Because I worry like no other, it's always one thing or another. It keeps me awake and it makes me wonder if I am alone. They turn themselves into the knots that knead and twist their way around my breathing lungs.
Well, that was just beautiful, wasn't it?
Wow.
My God.
There we go.
What's it feel like listening to yourself in front of two people?
Oh, God.
You should be so very proud.
It's one of those things, it never gets easier, you know? When I listen, it's like when I have to listen with other people beside me, it's like you suddenly hear all the things, you know? You suddenly hear like, oh.
That's good though, isn't it? Because usually you might miss them. You might miss it usually, but because you're so conscious of it, you pick up on all the nuances. You think, actually, I don't want that. That needs to go. Whereas usually, yeah. you might miss it.
That's true.
But this
true.
Is flawless. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's yeah. stunning.
Thank you.
You have a real, thank like, you, amazing way with words.
Absolutely beautiful voice as well.
Oh, thank you very much.
And yeah. I love the word knots as well. It's like so simple and it's just like, oof. It's great.
Were you using a cello for the bass?
No, I actually learned to play double bass for this song.
Okay.
Wow. I love that for this song.
Well, like I was there and because I played all the instruments on the album and I was like, you know, I tried playing like regular bass and I found it really hard. And then I was like, nah, I'm going to play upright. It'll be cool.
Surely that's harder.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's because I'm so used to acoustic instruments. Yeah. Because like violin and viola are my thing. So to me, it didn't seem harder for some reason.
You're used to not having frets. as well.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like figuring things out. I found it easier, but I don't know.
That's so cool.
Well, it certainly paid off.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, my little song about anxiety.
Is that what it's about? I was about to say, it's what's about. It's about anxiety.
Yeah, it's just about like, it's funny because the original lyric of this song was because I worry like my mother. And then I changed it because I thought she might not, she might not like that. And we put it out in the world.
Yeah, I was gonna say, at least you still put it out in the world one way or another, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's just about like all those, you know, nights you lie awake and you remember stupid stuff you did like 6 years ago or whatever.
Oh, I'm terrible for it.
And yeah, that's what the whole song is about. It's just like, at the time I was writing it, I hadn't released any of my music because I was too nervous. And so I said that in the song. It's like my unsaid words is just like all the stuff I'm keeping inside, the music I haven't released, the things I haven't said to people, you know, like they build up basically. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, that's the beautiful thing about music though. It's like, it's a way to actually express that. And it's an outlet to let it out. And then once it's out, like, I don't know, like, I find the music can be so helpful like that in like saying how I feel. And then once it's actually out there, I'm comfortable enough to be better almost because everyone else knows about it. There's something very like kinda, freeing in it.
Yeah, it gives you permission to breathe, basically. Yeah. So, yeah.
I kind of agree. That's why I chose percussion as my instrument, because I can channel my anger with it without having to tell people actually what my problem is.
There you go.
Exactly.
I'm not sure if that's healthy, but
like a fucking, I'm sure like a it fucking works. Caveman. Yeah, well, so thank you for bringing that. That's sharing it with, you know, exclusively with us.
Yeah.
That's,
there you go.
Yeah. I feel kind of what's the word?
Special.
My mom tells me I'm special.
You definitely are. You are.
Thank you. So what's next for you, Ali?
So let me think.
Don't know.
Oh god. So I think this single comes out on the 27th of May. And then next up will be the album after that in the summer. So I cannot wait for it just to be out there now.
Mm-hmm. Do you hope to play it live?
Yeah, I'm already practicing.
See, this will be the first time for you that you've done something like this live, won't it be?
Yeah, like, so I for my first single launch, I did like a mini gig of like 3 songs.
Okay.
And for me, it was like a big thing because I had to figure out how, because I played all the instruments on the album, I was like, at the time, thought it was a brilliant idea. Thought like, this is great. And did not think about the fact that I'd have to play it.
A loop pedal with an orchestra behind you. That'd be amazing.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm doing. I'm loop pedaling
so
it.
Cool.
For real. So what I'm doing is loop pedaling all the string parts.
Wow.
And then picking up the guitar, playing and like triggering the strings.
No.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah, so.
That's the thing is, you only need one thing to go wrong and it's all, you
got oh
so,
my God.
And you got so many no things pressure. Going on at the same time. That's mental.
You,
where's that window coming from?
Oh my God. It's scary. It's actually scary.
You're nervous.
Yeah, right? Adrenaline though.
Oh my God. Oh, I had this one time and like I set off the loop pedal. It went grand and then it never stopped. And I was there like double clicking. All you can hear is like look and panic on my face. And me just be like double click, double click, double click. And still tried to keep the guitar going for some like resemblance of normality. Oh, rough.
I've been there myself. Like, oh, there was one time I was re-recording guitar and I had this one little note that was a little bit wonky, but I just made eye contact with my friend. She's also a musician and she just kind of gave this like slight nod no and I was like, yeah, it's got to redo that. Like, yeah, you're
oh,
right.
Gosh. It's almost that thing. You're like, did I get away with it? And someone's like, exactly. Nah, you didn't.
No, you didn't. It's still going.
Yeah. The loop pedal. Like, I just left it there. It's still going on now.
Rumor has it, it's still doing, playing till this day.
Echoed into the future. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things that comes with playing music and doing gigs. When I did gigs, you know, you turn up and you want everything to be perfect. But even the best musicians in the world, they've all had, you know, they've all got stories of when things are going. But you live and learn, you know. So
That's it. Like this last weekend, I did my second gig in the world for my music. So I played Wolf Walkers was an animated film that got nominated for an Oscar. And the people who did it are from Kilkenny. So they got me to play for their Oscar party.
No way.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And actually,
that was your first gig?
That was my second.
Second? Oh, your second. Right?
She's playing Wembley next week.
Oh my God.
But it was really cool. It was deadly. And they were so nice. And like, I set it up and everything and going. But what I found that, you know, they were like, oh, if you could talk in between your songs and just introduce them a bit. And like, at first I was like, God, what will I say? And then in the middle of it, I was like, I need to stop talking. Like, I was rambling. I was telling them stories about my granny and my great aunt. Like, they knew my family tree by the end. I was like, oh my God. But you have that thing when you're going and you're like, I can't stop mid-story. But like, where's a good ending? Because like, this has gone ridiculous. But yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and more loop pedal, but I didn't have any loop pedal disasters, thank God.
That's good.
Yeah, I did, amazing. Though, actually, I played a piano song, and it has a little, just like keys introduction, and I played the introduction, and then I went to sing, and I was like, oh, I can't remember the words. So I played the introduction again, and then I was like, oh, I've got it this time. I take a really big breath, like, then I'm like, nope, don't have it. Play the introduction again. Just three times round. I bet they were like,
legend has it, she's still playing the introduction to this day.
Still going. But yeah, you know, live and learn with these things.
Exactly.
And as long as no one can tell anyway, like if you're, oh, yeah, no, this is totally, I meant to do this.
Yeah. Like there was, this is chill.
Like, exactly. There's one gig and I was just like, shit. Like, no, I have to restart. And it's like, so fair play. How about pulling it off?
First gig I ever played, it was a big gig. We got like hundreds of people there and I basically shit my pants and I played a fast song, like, four times faster than it should have been because I'm the drummer. Everybody else has no choice but to follow me.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Yeah,
I bet they killed you after.
They couldn't. They were too knackered.
Oh. Just tired them all out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think, like I say, everybody's got some sort of a story like that.
Yeah. Oh,
for sure.
I don't think you can be a performing musician and not have a story like that.
I think you need like, one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for life conversations just like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if our followers and our listeners want to follow you, Ali, where can they go?
Well, anywhere. I am on all platforms. Mostly Instagram is where I'm most present. Ali Comerford Music is my handle. Okay. Yeah, but I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find me on Spotify as well.
Awesome. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. You've been a fantastic guest.
Really have. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a laugh.
It has, hasn't it? It's been really good.
Yeah, it has. Great.
Ema, I think you're going to finish up for us.
Yes, indeed. So I am delighted to be bringing forward for Artist of the Week, Miss Ray Kelly, who is also from Ireland, and this interview is in association with Stream On Distro, because your music is personal and should be treated that way.
Boom! Boom. Well, I think that all that's left to say then, Ema, is I've been Richie.
I've been Ema.
Our guest has been...
Ali.
Thank you for listening.
If indeed you still are.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
This interview has been brought to you by
Stream on Distro.
Because your music is personal.
It should be treated that way.
This week, I am joined by the lovely Ray Kelly. Thank you so, so much for joining us.
Hi, Ema. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to meet you and a pleasure to be on the show.
Pleasure to meet you too. You're our very special guest. Love your music.
Thank you so much.
A lot of different influences in there. And I see like one of them on your bio, you say you're a film score enthusiast.
Actually, when I first started writing music, I feel like it was the instrumentals where I started. And when I was about 10 or 11, my dad bought me this piece of software called Cakewalk. Really simple, really easy to use. And I would just spend hours in my bedroom pretending I was like a film composer and that I was given a scene to write to. And I would build up all these MIDI instruments. And I'd spend hours doing this. And then I just listen to it over and over and over. And then play it to my parents and be like, look what I made. Wow. And I just... I love the thrill of that moment that is like the sweet spot, mm-hmm. you know, just before even you release it into the world, it's just like, oh my God, I've just finished this. I've made something new. I've made something I'm proud of.
And your latest single is Idir Erhara.
Yes.
Queen. And that's an instrumental piece.
Yeah. So this is actually my very first instrumental release.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it was a really cool project because it's the first thing I've released that I fully produced myself. And I did during lockdown without setting foot in a studio.
Wow.
So it was a lot of fun to put together. But it's actually a piece I wrote quite a few years ago after my grandparents and my great uncle Joe passed away within 2 weeks of each other, sadly. Oh. And it was my first real confrontation with grief. And usually like with a big moment in life like that, I would write a song to try and like process it. But I just couldn't write lyrics. I just thought, even if I write lyrics about this, I will never be able to sing it without, you know, remembering why I wrote it and bursting into tears. And so one evening I turned off all the lights and I just had my little fairy lights on. I sat at my piano and the kind of intro to this piece came out. It took me a while to put it together to tweak it and fine tune. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was actually, that was quite a few years ago now. And this year I just thought, you know what, I think I'm just going to do this as a challenge to myself. Yeah. To like record something myself at home, self-produce it. And it was quite an interesting experience because the piece has a lot of time signature changes that I didn't realize were there. So when I went through the process of like getting my click track together, I realized, oh my God, I've got free form and I've got three different time signatures. Wow. So it was a really, really good challenge.
And of course, like
thank you. Sorry, what did you say?
I'm literally tearing up like listening to that.
Oh, God. Yeah, so am I. And I was really fortunate to meet a wonderful cellist called Ruth Hallows. Basically, over lockdown, I was just talking to strangers on the internet. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. And I've met a few really interesting people, including Ruth, who I've collaborated with. So I had a few Skype calls with Ruth just going through the piece. And after a few calls, we kind of tweaked the cello part to got it to where we wanted it to be. And then fortunately, she was able to go into a studio not far from her house. Wow. And send the files back. And then I sent them on to my usual producer, mm-hmm. Andy Carr. Who produced a song I released just before Christmas, Ignorant, as Icarus. Mm. And then one evening I just came up with the idea for a music video. The whole story just sort of fell in my head. And this was probably 3 weeks before the track was due to be released.
Yeah.
I thought this is probably, you know, it's probably going to take a while to put this together. But I contacted a guy, another stranger I met on the internet, a wonderful animator called Manuel Latouche. Yeah. And I just said, I've just had this idea and the whole storyboard is here. What do you think? Would you be able to put it together, you know, in time to coincide with the release, thinking there's no way, it's going to take probably 2 months or whatever. And amazingly, he managed to turn it around in 3 weeks. I don't know how he did it. If you're watching, Manuel, thank you so much. And I'm really so like over the moon with how it all came together, because again, coming back to that kind of cinematic influence, I love like marrying image to music. And yeah, I just love how it all came together in the end. So
it sounds like it was just meant to be, really, just how it all fell into place. Like, that's stunning. And then I love as well, like, one thing that I really love about, and it sounds like this happened to your song, like when something really comes from the heart, it's out there and then you have to figure out what you did. So it happens to go back and figure out what the timing is. It's like, hang on, what is this?
Yeah, I know. I find that that's a real challenge. I find, you know, now that I'm trying to get into releasing music again, is having that schedule, because you do have to, there is actually a lot of planning you have to do doing your own, if you're doing your own PR and stuff like that. So I found it a really useful exercise in putting some structure, because I'm sure you found this as well. You know, musicians were really into the creative process, and so much of our energy just goes into creating this piece of music. And it's almost like you run out of steam at the end. It's like, well, I've finished it. I'm just going to put it out. And then, but there's this whole other like world of things that you need to do in order to do that work justice and really give it exposure. But there's so many tools available to us now. So it
just takes like doing it. Like, when did you get started in music? I love asking this question.
So it's, do you know what, it's funny what you remember from childhood, because I vividly remember my mum walking into my room and I must have only been about five. And she asked me, Rachel, do you want to go and do swimming lessons or would you like piano lessons? How privileged I was. And I remember just really clearly seeing myself playing piano and thinking that that was an important thing to do, and that would be the right choice.
Wow.
And so I started piano lessons at maybe five or six. I was classically trained. I hated doing the exams. Then I got really into playing by ear, like picking up music I heard on TV, composing, like making up melodies, and songwriting became, you know, the classic way of dealing with teenage life and school life and all the horrendous things that come with that. And like the real turning point was when I was 17. My first ever gig was at Vicar Street in Dublin, live over 2FM radio. And not only that, you had the choice of either playing with the RTE band or you could bring your own band. And I didn't have a band, so I said, oh grand, you know, I'll play with the RTE band, not quite realizing that, you know, you kind of have to practice with the band and stuff, you know. And so you get there on the day. We had one run through, maybe two, max two run throughs with the backing band. I didn't even know what they were going to play, because they just took your song and did an arrangement, so I had no idea what they were going to do. And all I'd sent them in was me like playing with my piano. So I'm actually really proud of myself, because I don't know how I managed to get through that without completely, you know, effing it up. That was quite an exhilarating experience. But
that is amazing. That was your first gig. I love it. What advice would you give to yourself, to a young Ray Kelly who was starting off in music?
I love that question. And I think that's something I and probably everyone is always thinking about. If you could go back in time and change something by just giving yourself some advice from the future, what would it be? And the thing is, when I was a young musician, my biggest, the thing I found really difficult was stage fright. And I was also a real worrier. And the only way to kind of conquer those things is by facing your fear and by doing it repeatedly. So there's not really anything that I could say, I think, that would help apart from just soldier on. And you can do whatever you put your mind to. And that's actually something I've only learned in recent years. Like, you actually can do what you put your mind to. It's just about getting started and not worrying and not, you know, thinking about all the things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Because failure is so, we're constantly worried about failure, and it shouldn't be a bad thing. Like, failure means you've tried something and you've done something and you've probably learned something good from it. So yeah, you learn nothing from success, do you? It's just that it's a feeling that fizzles out very quickly, and then you've got to like figure out what to do next. So yeah, I think I would just tell myself that you can do what you put your mind to, and don't worry so much. Stop being such a worrywart.
Solid advice. I love it. So I guess we'll wrap up there. It was a beautiful interview. Is there anything that you would like to promote or any announcements that you'd like to make?
So I'm now working on what my next release is going to be, and it will be songs. I'm going to go back to my back catalogue of songs. I've actually got three songs that I've been working on with my producer, Andy Carr, that have just been waiting for me to put final vocals on, and hopefully there'll be a music video for Ignorant as Icarus coming out very soon.
Ray, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Help Jews in Poverty at helpjewsnow.org. Your $25 gift today will help provide a life-saving food box to Jews in need. Be a blessing right now. Visit helpjewsnow.org. That's helpjewsnow.org.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.